You're listening to Passages for Life, the ministry of Passages Church. Happy Father's Day to the fathers who are listening. We're glad that you've joined us. And if you're not a father, but you have a father that you could wish Happy Father's Day to, don't forget, give them a call. Send them a text, Facebook, whatever way you communicate, just to let them know you're thinking about them. Not everyone had a great father experience, and fathers, just like anybody else, are fallible. But some have had bad experiences, and so the idea of Father's Day may conjure up some bad memories. And then many of us have lost our dads, and this day may just kind of conjure up some emotions in that regard too. But we do have a Father that we can connect with, who is our Heavenly Father, who gave us His only begotten Son because He cares for all of His children, and He wanted to extend salvation to us. We're going to look in Luke chapter 15 at what we often call the parable of the prodigal son, but it's actually of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And so you can turn to Luke 15 and hold that in readiness. Also, you can prepare for the Lord's Supper by going ahead and gathering the emblems so that when it comes to that time, then we can just focus on partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's great that you've joined us today on Father's Day. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you thanking you for this day, for all your blessings. Thank you that you are a great Father to us. I don't know what experiences anyone who's listening has had. I hope that there are many good experiences of their dad. But there may be those that didn't have good experiences, and I pray that for all who are listening, that you would wrap your loving arms around each one. We thank you for being our good, good Father. And I pray now in Jesus' name, amen.
It's who I am.
Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.
Jesus spoke of a father who was told by his son, give me my share right now, not when you're gone. His father gave him what he asked, and his son went on his way. But while living left him broke, nothing left to his name. So back to his father, that son went, though he squandered all he had, everything was spent. To his father, that son went, not knowing if he'd be welcome home again, having nowhere else to go, that son went. bad. He knew he had hurt his dad. He thought, I'll be a servant. I'm not worthy to be a son. But as he reached his father's land, he couldn't believe his eyes. His father was waiting with his arms open wide. The story of forgiveness is for all who've lost their way. The Bible says we like sheep have all gone astray. Another son was sent to us, though we were so depraved. He gave his life at Calvary so we could be saved. To an old rugged cross that son went, though he'd done nothing wrong. He bore our sin to a borrowed tomb. That son went. His death seemed like a hopeless sin. From the cross to the grave, that son went. Son went. He broke the chains that bound him. Death had lost its grip. The tomb was empty as that son went. To redeem the lives of all who call on him. To a lost and broken son went. To a lost and broken world, that son went.
We're looking at a passage of scripture that we often will refer to as the prodigal son. But Jesus told three parables in this one setting. It's like he's telling a sermon, giving us a sermon, and he's got three different illustrations here. He starts off talking about the lost sheep, and he's painting a picture for us of the good shepherd that will leave the 99 sheep. And I'm sure the shepherd would make sure that the sheep are secure, but he would leave the 99 and he would go after the one that was lost. And he doesn't just say, oh, well, I've got 99 more. You know, what difference does that matter if I lose one here or there? No, he goes after the lost sheep. And Jesus, of course, is making an illustration of that's what God does. He goes after the lost sheep, and that being us. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. But notice here, as he paints this picture to the Jewish listeners, he's talking about this shepherd who goes after the lost sheep. And when he finds that lost sheep, then there's time for celebration. So he calls his friends together and says, let's celebrate because the sheep that was lost is now found. And we see there's celebration, and then that story is ended. But then he goes on to another story, and it's about the lost coin. And he talks about this woman that has lost this valuable coin. And she searches throughout her house. Now, granted, they didn't have the kind of furniture that we have. Probably didn't have plushy couches where stuff could just kind of slide down the side, and then you got to reach your hand way down to find it. Probably wasn't like that, but we get the idea that if she needed to, she would tear her house apart to find that coin. And then when she found the coin, there was cause for celebration. And so then she invites her friends to come to the house and celebrate because she's found a coin. Now, that must have been a valuable coin, because when I think of a coin, if I think I lost a quarter, I don't think a quarter is even going to, I mean, it's not even going to pay for me to get a can of Coke or a candy bar if I lost that coin. So this must have been a valuable coin in that story. At least it had value to her. And after Jesus tells that story, then he says there is celebration. So she calls her friends and they're having celebration, and then period. That's the end of that story. Well, then he goes into the story of the lost son. And this is the one that I want to really focus on, that we'll spend more detail on. And there's some things that are similar to the first two things, but there are some things that go a lot deeper and that are certainly different than in the previous two examples. Now, by the way, I don't know if you've experienced this, if there are any preachers who are listening, but I had actually pastored a small church for just a few months. I didn't know it was going to be an interim ministry, but after a few months, I decided it was going to be an interim ministry. And they started griping about me telling stories. Now, I'd never tell stories just for the sake of telling a story, but to connect a point. And that's what I see Jesus doing right here. He is connecting points. He is painting a picture so that those who are listening can get this vivid understanding of what he's talking about. That which is lost is found. But when he goes into the story of the lost son, he puts some little twist in there. So we look at this passage beginning in verse 11. And he says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them. Now, first of all, it was appalling that a son would go to the father and say, give me my portion, before the father had died. It was just something that immediately Jesus' audience must have started feeling a reaction to. So it says what the father did is he gave the portion, he divided it to them. Now, obviously, in this story, the father still has control of things and still has some resources because of what he did later in the story. But he gave a portion to both sons. So to the son who went to squander it, he gave a portion. And to the one who was staying, it sounds like he gave a portion to him, because it says, so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. Now, it doesn't tell us right here what the prodigal living was, but prodigal living might be described a little bit later in the story when the other son is having a conversation with the father. But you see, you got to keep in mind that this is the story that Jesus is telling. This is not necessarily and probably not even inspired by somebody that Jesus knew. He is telling a story that will point to the love of the Father. And by the way, the son who went to the Father and asked for his portion before the Father had died, it was really like he was suggesting to the Father, I don't care if you're alive or not. I just want what's mine. I want my portion now. And so the younger son, he squandered it on riotous living, on prodigal living. And when he had spent all, he was flat broke. And that was bad enough. I mean, he might be able to get a little bit of income on the side, but then there was a severe famine in that land. So Jesus is really painting this picture that this kid is in big time trouble. Severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. That is, he went looking for a job to a citizen of the country where he was at. And here's where Jesus is really tweaking the Jewish listeners of that day and really just kind of getting them to feel something here of emotion, because it said that this citizen of the country sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now, that is the last job that the Jewish listeners would want to have, because it would be considered unclean. And so Jesus is telling this story and says that he was sent to feed swine and would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. You know, he would have ate what the pigs ate. He was that desperate. But when he came to himself, he realized, and he thought of this, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now, some people might have thought, well, he was just manipulating. I mean, this is a story. We got to remember that. It's a story, and so in the story, he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But it's like the father didn't even hear that. The father was so happy to have his son back that the father said to the servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, there's something different about the story of the lost son from the lost sheep and the lost coin. In the story of the lost sheep, when they had celebration, then it was period. The story was ended. when it was the lost coin, there was celebration. And then there was a period. The story was ended. But in this one, there is celebration, and they begin to be merry, but the story doesn't end. Jesus is once again putting a twist on this story. So, now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might be merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." Now, Jesus, I think he's telling the story of the other son, because everybody could be judgmental on the prodigal. They could be very judgmental. You know, his listeners were probably thinking, "Oh, it's just terrible what that son did. Oh, it's just awful." And then Jesus is going to drive home a point here. Both of the sons were outside of the father's will. The first son was outside of the father's will, but he repented. But this son is outside of the father's will. Father says, "Come on in. Let's celebrate." He says, "I will not." And look what he says. He says, "I've been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time." Now, can anybody really say that? I mean, we can't say that we've never transgressed the commandments of God. I mean, I think Jesus is presenting this way so we get the idea of how easy it is to point out the sin of someone else while we don't even recognize the sin in our own life. Truly, we've all transgressed. So he says, "I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat." He's so filled with jealousy, and he's not even recognizing his own failures. And the father says to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So Jesus really drives home the point of celebrating when the lost are found. Take a look at the pictures here. The father in the story, it represents a loving God who would even run to you when he sees you coming. I mean, can you get that mental picture of God running to you? What an image that is, that God just wants us to come to him. You may be thinking that you're like the prodigal, but maybe you're thinking that there's no way God could forgive you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, if you want the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can find it. You can be a recipient of God's grace by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Lord and Savior. And I want to invite you to receive Christ as your Savior, to confess Him. And you can do that by telling someone else about your confession of faith, and hopefully you will notify me of your confession of faith so that I can lead you through other steps of what the Scripture shows that we need to do when we surrender to Jesus Christ. But God wants you, and He's even running after you. Even if you've done things that are terrible, you can turn back to Him. You know, God showed us in His Word that He used people who failed. He used David, who was said to be a man after God's own heart, but he failed. And He used Peter, who had even denied Christ. But look at what happened with Peter. He repented and he became so bold in his faith that on the day of Pentecost, he was standing before thousands of Jews preaching, and he says, "Let the house of Israel know assuredly that you have crucified Jesus, who is both Lord and Christ." And it cut them to the heart, so much so that they interrupted Peter's sermon and said, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we know that there were thousands added to their number that day. So if you let me know, if you make a confession of your faith, and if you decide to accept Christ as Savior, I want to help you find some way that you can be baptized, because that's part of what the Scripture talks about too. And so just contact me and let me know, and I will try to help lead you and find someone who can baptize you. If you're remote from me. But if you're in the Nashville area, I'll be glad to do that myself. So, but you have to let me know. And I do hope that there are those who will receive Christ as their Lord and Savior through the ministry of Passages Church. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper now, and this is a celebration. When Jesus instituted it, it was actually the Passover, and it was on a Thursday night. So, you know, we can't get real legalistic about how and when and all the particulars about it, because He instituted this on a Thursday night of Passover, and He held up the bread and He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He held up the cup that said, "This is my blood shed for many for the remission of sins." And the interesting thing is, I've heard people argue about it literally being the body and the blood. And I'm like, that could not be, because He was holding it up while He was still alive. Had a lady come out of the church that I was preaching at, and she said, "I have a problem with the fact that your bulletin says, when the emblems are passed, you may partake." And I said, well, okay. So I pulled out my wallet, and I just pointed to a picture of my son, and I said, "This is my son." And she said, "Yeah, I know. I know that's your son." And I said, "But that's not my son." She goes, "What are you talking about? Of course that's your son. I know your son. He's right over there." And I said, "Yeah, but this isn't my son." I said, "It's a picture of my son." But you understood exactly what I meant when I said, "This is my son." She said, "That makes perfect sense." And I never heard another word out of her about that. Sometimes we can get kind of hung up on things. But here's the main point. Jesus wants us to remember him and his sacrifice. So as you take that bread, you think about the body that was nailed to the cross. And you think of the cup. You take the cup and you think of the blood that was shed. Now, it may seem strange thinking about eating body and drinking blood. But when you think about Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And then you look in the Old Testament where it talks about the blood is actually, there is life in the blood. And so you see those two things together and it makes it make sense. So these are taken. We hold these and partake of these to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We're going to pray, and then during the song, whenever you feel led to, you may partake freely. Lord, we come to you thanking you for your sacrifice, for this celebration of the Lord's Supper that we share in together. And though people may be listening to this at totally different times, in a way, in spirit, we're connected because we are a part of a larger fellowship of believers. We're not individual Christians. We are part of the body of Christ. So I pray, Lord, that as each one partakes, that we would all reflect on your love, your grace, and your wonderful sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
When he ran to me, he took me in his arms.
You've been listening to Passages for Life, the ministry of Passages Church. I'm glad you joined us today as we put our focus on the Father. And of course, today being Father's Day, if you have a father or a special person in your life, grandfather, uncle, friend, be sure and tell them Happy Father's Day. The mission of Passages Church is to reach up to glorify God, to reach in to the church, to build up the body of Christ, just to be an additional opportunity to worship and to teach the Word of God, and to reach out to those who don't know Christ as Savior. Well, I hope you'll join us next week as we continue in our series on the first epistle of Peter. We took a break from that today because of the focus of Father's Day, but we'll pick up on that. So be sure and write if there's anything that I can do to help you to minister in any way. If you have a prayer request, just know that you will be prayed for. Your need will be lifted up before the Lord. And if you have any comments, just let us know. I love to get feedback. It lets me know who's listening and how this ministry is touching you. Also, I'd appreciate if you would share this ministry with your friends and family, because what we're about is simply to get the word and the worship out to anybody who needs to have this kind of support. God bless you. Thanks for being with us, and I hope you join us again next week for Passages for Life from Passages Church. Keep us in your prayer. God bless.